Hello. A little bit of home, a little bit of listening. You know, I forgot my UTC time. I think it's 1600, right? So actually, I can check in PCOM by hitting the plus key. Yep, 1600, that's my show time. Because I always look at my clock and it's 9 a.m. Pretty soon it'll switch to 8 a.m. Hello, welcome to the sound show for this day, which is Saturday. Welcome to you who have come to ZomboCom. Saturday, July 24th. Summer is well underway. But, yeah, the world is, especially the West of the United States, is just dying. It's just, I was reading articles about water thieves, and especially for marijuana growers. Apparently, this is an interesting issue. Apparently, everyone's on the same page about illegal marijuana growers. Like, everybody hates them. The legal weed growers hate them. The sheriffs, the normally conservative family value sheriff people, hate them because they're often cartels, and they will poison the earth with their illegal pesticides, and they will steal water from reservoirs, from public resources. So apparently, I don't quite understand why this is, but apparently it's still profitable to grow marijuana illegally. I don't know how that works or why that works, but it makes me wonder, like, the joints that I buy, like, how can I guarantee that they're being sourced from ethical growers? And, you know, I bet you there's some, I don't think the marijuana industry is totally on the up and up. I think it's like, it was shady for so long. I don't think you just suddenly legalize it and all that shadiness just disappears. So I bet you that there are some illegally grown marijuana probably makes its way into dispensaries, like stores. I don't know that for a fact, but I mean, I don't know. I guess I could research it a little bit, but it made me think, like, well, maybe I should quit smoking marijuana just as some kind of an environmental thing. Cause it's like, yeah, the whole water thing with the West, that's, we didn't want to move here to begin with. My mom kind of leveraged everybody. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's running out of water. There's fires all the time. It's a stupid place to live in the California countryside. I mean, I read somewhere, I think I cited this statistic earlier on the sound show, and I talk about it often because it's a good number. There's an over the course of 20 years, there is an 88% chance that your house will not burn down. So I don't know. I mean, it's more likely not to burn down than it is to burn down. And I don't know what the, you know, if that's a good statistic or not, but it's memorable. So I repeat it as one does. I was just looking, I have some tab on my computer, my box or, for, actually it's not tab, it's the chords to a Steely Dan song called Deacon Blue. Is it Deacon Blues or Deacon Blue? I believe it's blues, plural. And it's got a really strange lyric. Steely Dan were kind of an intellectual, bohemian, poetic outfit, you know, artsy and mysterious. They have hipster value. Very jazzy. Anyway, the intro part is, it's neat. And I was trying to figure it out, and I was just, because it doesn't have chord diagrams in here, but then I suddenly remembered how to play it, and it doesn't really even make sense. Like, you would never get, I don't think I would ever figure this out if I just had this chord chart, if I didn't suddenly remember how to play it. But it starts on C major 7, then it goes to this thing, which is supposedly a G suspended second with a B in the bass, but I think it's just a tone cluster. There's no way there, it's just a nice descending. Just a nice descending tonal structure from that major 7. Then it jumps up to D major 7 on the 5th string, and that's harder to play here. Here we go. And then finally E flat major 7, and then E, Jimi Hendrix chord, E dominant 7 sharp 9. So I don't know if you know that song, but this is the day of the expanding man. That shape is my shade, there where I used to stand. It seems like, oops, what is it? E7 flat 9. Like only yesterday, I gazed through the glass. I can never find B flat. I wanted to write a C on my guitar, just where C is on the low E string, because I always mix up B flat and C. Like, I can never just like C, haha, C, C. I'm a Spurg. I can never observe on the neck where the note C is. I always confuse it with B flat. So I was thinking just write a C there. You know, it would save me some. So where was I? I gaze through the glass. Yeah, B flat is below C. At ramblers, wild gamblers. That's B minor 7 flat 5. All in the past. B minor 7 flat 5. E7 sharp 9. You call me a fool. You say it's a crazy scene. Weeks, I see Wix going lol, LOL. Wix, I trust Wix's lols. I believe when Wix types lol, he's really lolling. Because I've seen pictures of Wix, and he's a smiley character. Wix has a good attitude. He's a good natured cat, right, Wix? Snow. Oh yeah, SMJ says Snow Dusk returned. A return to calm. Did he return to Anon Radio, or did he just return to calm to say hi? Maybe. Who cares? Says Hmir. Hmir often says, "Who cares?" I'm doing a. All I want is my 40. Says Hmir. That's the thing Hmir always says is, "What you got on my 40?" It's from what is that movie? It's some. Yeah, I forget. It's some comedy, some hood comedy. Somebody can remind me. is it Friday? Okay, yeah, I think it's Friday. Anyway, there's this big guy. I guess his name is Devo or Debo or something, and he's this huge guy on a bike, and he comes and he threatens everybody and extorts money, and he says, "What you got on my 40?" I didn't know what that meant for a long time, but I guess it means like, what can you contribute toward my wanting to buy 40 ounces of malt liquor? So they all say, "No, I don't have any money. I don't have any money." So this guy just like walks the streets of this town and just asks people for money or extorts it, you know. It's very it's very upsetting. Wick says the actor died during the COVID pandemic. Yeah, he had a walleye, I believe. Like one of his eyes looked off to the side. Yeah. HM says, Allahu Akbar. Anyway, what I was going to do today, before I got distracted by the chat room, was play with my guitar and play with the effects. I haven't done that in a little while. I like to rotate all my instruments. Like one week I'll do acoustic, one week I'll do electric with the amp, and one week I'll do electric straight onto the board, another week I'll do keyboard. I mean, you know, my options. I wouldn't call them manifold, but there's somewhat, my options are more than one. I'll just put it that way. So, okay. Guitar. Okay. Oh, and I have this thing I was playing with and guitar rig. I don't use computers. I'm not a hacker. Like I don't really use computers in new and unusual ways and really get the most out of software. I just kind of go with the flow, which means I'm lazy. So I was trying to play around more with this guitar rig program, and they've got an amplifier, an amp simulator, and they've also got a cabinet simulator, and they've got a setting called a matched cab. So it just automatically matches. And there are subtle sonic differences between all these things. This is not a complaint, but just an observation that may just reflect on my own inability to discern things, to discern sonic objects. But like, it seems like there's a lot of programming, like oomph, that goes into making all these options, and then you click it, and it's like all this processing power is taken up. But it's like the sonic difference is really. I suppose it's noticeable, it's discernible, and maybe just this is just like a producer's vanity, maybe, that like people really, really care about these tiny little, and they make a huge deal about these minute differences in sound. But, you know, like a note is a note to some degree. And I guess that's just that's partially just my failing as a sonic manipulator. It's that I'm more into like pitch, what note it is, you know, music, what the music is doing, you know, the 12 tones versus like, you know, does the reverb perfectly right or something like that, or is the stereo field responding in the way? Because I don't really care about all that stuff. So I guess that means I would not make a good producer. Like I wouldn't make a good Quincy Jones. Ooh, out of tune. Sort of. Not really. Sounds kind of oddly out of tune. Maybe it's that third. I don't know what's up with that C chord. I think that's pretty much in tune. These are old strings. I changed the strings in my acoustic, but I never changed them on my electric because they weren't. I don't play the electric that much. Mostly when I just want to pick up a guitar and noodle, I pick up the acoustic. Anywho, let's play with some of these amps and the matched cab. Okay, this is a jazz amp and a matched cab. Now immediately, I can hear some kind of modulation effect on there. So that doesn't necessarily make it a jazz amp. Let me see. Okay, so that's the chorus. I could turn the chorus off. And I don't know, is that particularly profound to you? Like if I turn it off, let's turn off both the cabinet. Turn it back on. Although sometimes I notice, like when I'm listening to my archives, I notice things listening that I didn't pick up on when I was doing the show. And it's often kind of embarrassing. Like it would be a real obvious thing that kind of paints me as like, you know, a sonic Philistine. That's me, sonic Philistine. Anyway, let's turn the chorus back on because I like chorus. Kind of like that sound. One is jump. I assume that means it's Van Halen-y. It's going to be distorted. I knew that would happen. I knew it would be loud. It's a little bit frustrating the way all the different effects and all the different settings and all the different instruments, everything in an audio, in a DAW program, it's got a different volume level. So you never know how loud it's going to be. But luckily, we're not short on volume controls. No, I think Wix is not going to call. Like when he originally made his threat to call, he apparently was drunk and just wanted to say he hated me or something like that. So he didn't actually want to call. He just said that. It just came out of his fingers onto the keyboard. Not the key, probably the phone. I think Wix is mostly on his phone. He's a phone guy. Well. Anyway. Actually, I think it would probably be a good idea to, like, actually come up with some topics that I could talk about. I talked about the drought and how this is actually worrying. Like, I think that I don't know, we're in the mountains, so we're in a little bit better shape than people down in the valley. Like, I think the worst possible shape are people that are not on public water that live in the valley, like some dinky little town like in Stevenson or Turlock or whatever, like outside of Turlock or outside of Merced. I've heard of them, like their wells running dry, like little private water operations. And the thing is, I think that's also being fueled by agriculture. Like there's so much water use for it. I think what I've read in other statistics, I think it's 70% of the water that's used is for agriculture, which makes sense. I mean, so if I had to guess, I don't think our well's going to run dry because we're in the mountains. We got the Sierra runoff. We don't have any agriculture that's drawing on it. So I do worry about like water thieves now and illegal cartel growers poisoning the earth. So, and apparently they're all in like the national forest. They just find some deserted place. And it's not practical to patrol those millions of acres. So even if they do get busted, get arrested, deported, whatever, it's still profitable. You know, they're willing to do that. So I don't know. I should understand some, I should do dedicate some research time sometime to finding out how these growers, these illegal growers are able to make a living or why that's profitable to grow a substance that's legal. I mean, I know it's you know, quasi-legal, but it's like this is not a problem for like tobacco. You know, there are not a bunch of illegal tobacco growers growing tobacco. So what is it about marijuana that makes that? I guess maybe it's still the illegal status in other states and other countries. I don't know. If it were totally made legal worldwide, suddenly the world government said, okay, marijuana is legal, maybe that would solve the problem and there wouldn't be any earth poisoning, water stealing cartel growers. So yeah, it's my county's sheriff department has been complaining about illegal cartel growths, and I always thought it was just them being, you know, kind of racist, but I think they were onto something. So yeah, although I think I mentioned that D'Agostini, the current sheriff, is either on his way out or has left already, but he's replaced himself with his protege that he's trained in his dark arts. So he's notoriously conservative. I think he might be a Trumpist. Oh, not a Trumpist. A Trumpist. This is kind of a nice level of distortion, don't you think? For one thing, I can actually, it's quiet. You know, if I'm not playing any notes, it's not overwhelming me with feedback. Wix says, my homie Kuko wants to pay DJ MJT a visit. It's DJ Barnacle. That DJ MJT does not roll off the tongue, man. My homie Kuko. ¿Qué pasa, Kuko? ASA. That's the Kuko riff. It's one of the first things that I learned how to play on the guitar. Metallica, Sanitarium. Welcome to where time stands still. No one leaves and no one will. I dream the same thing every night. I see our freedom in my sight. No locked doors, no windows barred, nothing to make my brain seems gone. Sleep, my friend, and you will see the dream is my reality. They keep me locked up in this cage. Can you see that's why my brain screams rage? I don't know the rest of it. Sanitarium. Copyright violation. Metallica's going to sue me. I really slowed that. I said Metallica. Metallica is going to sue me. I was reading some critiques on Reddit about a podcast, about how the podcast host doesn't enunciate. But the thing is, you can do it too much. You can overly enunciate, and then you sound fake. You don't sound like your words are coming from the heart, man. So it's a happy medium you got to pull.
I'm going to call SMJ, see if he picks up.
Booty. Booty call. Loud.
Making you.
Bonjour.
Good morning.
What?
I make you sweat.
You making me sweat? Yeah. I want to make you sweat. What's that? In Excess. Or CNC Music Factory. I think both of those artists talk about making me sweat. Or making one sweat.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. What you doing this morning?
Got the piano sorted out.
What instrument?
I've got the combination of the electric piano and grand.
Okay. Have you been playing with it like all week, or is it just this is?
I mean, I always play keyboards.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's just I've been spending more time setting up my studio.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any projects in mind, like things you want, like some releasing some albums under the Red Martian name, or?
Yeah, there's a Red Martian album that's getting finished up, and then there's a new one, and I hope that I'm not the only one playing on it, but Paul and Rob, we haven't practiced in over a year, but I still go to the studio like 3 times a week and work on the thing.
Go to the studio? So this is different than your home studio? This is like a separate thing?
Yeah, I have over 10 years now. I've had a Loud studio, which has, you know, acoustic drums and our amps and everything. And it's basically a rented practice space. And then the home studio, which is mostly synths, MIDI synths and things like that.
So would your ideal have been for like Red Martian to become like a huge band and like that becomes like your career? Like, did you have those thoughts? Like,
oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean that you have to, I should say though, I mean, probably my, brainwashing by DIY punk bands, like Dead Kennedys and Minor Threat and things like that.
You're like, I don't care about being big or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. They probably influenced me in the wrong way because I think what happened, like a lot of the, there was a whole slew of bands. And of course I wouldn't say that not being widely known or playing by your own rules doesn't mean you're not successful. I think what it did is it kind of made a vacuum for bands like Blink 182 and Green Day to kind of just come in and say, oh, we're pop punk and we're going to be distributed by Walmart, you know, that kind of thing. And then you basically have kind of then the bands like the ones with, I guess you can call them with integrity, the ones that running their own labels and making their own stuff, kind of get sidelined because you go up to you know the Warp Festival and you probably do a survey and just like, hey, do you know who Discord Records is or Alternative Tentacles or things like that, and there's probably a lot of people that don't know that. But if you ask them if they know David Geffen or Geffen Records or they might know that.
Do you think anybody starts off like wanting to be big according to like the pop, like let's just formulaically try to achieve popularity and not really care about.
I think so.
No, you think so? Okay.
Oh yeah.
I guess these producer vehicles where it's like a producer puts together a band and like assigns a singer to it and like
right.
It's kind of a shadowy figure in the background engineering the whole thing.
Yeah, Billy talked about the rise of the producer. He was talking about this at one point. How producers became either equal or more important than.
Well, I remember Michael Jackson Thriller. I remember hearing about Quincy Jones, how that was kind of like a Michael Jackson / Quincy Jones album because Quincy Jones was so important. And you can hear him playing the piano. So it's like, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, no, I mean, it would be great to make more money. Music rather than, but you know, I like the company I work for and I like my job.
Yeah,
so.
Well, good. That's nice that you like your job. I wonder, I always hear that most people don't like their jobs. I wonder if that's true.
Oh, I absolutely love my job. That was, it's, I really like the company I work for.
You like your boss?
Well, my boss passed away.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a little complicated, but anyways, it's still a great company.
But you have somebody you report to, right? I guess it's kind of but just you don't have as close a relationship with that person. It's kind of more abstract. Like when I was working as a temp, that was a weird situation. I didn't really have a boss. Mm-hmm. Wix just said awkward. He's trying to make me feel bad. Wix, you're trying to manipulate my feelings via chat. Is that what you're doing, Wix?
Hey, I made. I was working on something.
Felix.
Felix.
I said feelings.
Oh, I thought you said Felix.
I was just reading some old chat logs I had with Felix. Oh man, those are cringy, and they're also just like messed up. Like we had a very strange relationship.
Yeah, she was quirky.
I was a weird person back in like the early 2000s. Oh. I didn't realize how weird I was, but I think I'm not as maybe I'm still weird, but yeah, I shock myself with some of the things that I would say. Like reading these, have you ever read old chat logs of yourself? It's kind of a not advisable.
I you know for Calm, there's not a great history of logs just because it's kind of like the thing about Calm is like it vanishes, it goes away.
Right.
Someone can flush the buffer or whatever. It's not, there's this lack of permanence, which is cool.
Yeah, I think.
But the 9/11 Calm mode.
I was reading, it was an FTP thing, right?
Yeah, it's an FTP.
FTP link. So
and there's like, over the course of just around a day or something, 438 users went into Calm that day. Can you believe it? 438 users.
What's the norm?
Oh, I have no idea because it seems like a lot.
It does seem like it. It's a big number.
Yeah. And I was thinking it would be cool if we could track them down and just say, hey, you want to come into Calm for the 20th anniversary and reminisce about, you know, the past 20 years and what's changed and what pisses you off.
I don't know what's going on in Calm these days. I don't even peek in that often.
Can you analyze this chord? I just threw it down.
I think that's just a minor seven with the weird voicing. I'm pretty sure they're just a minor seven. But
maybe, yeah.
See, I'll play a C. This is, I think it's a C minor seven. Just oddly voiced with some strange things in the treble. But
oh, you're right. There it is. Okay.
Hee
hee. Hee hee. And Megan.
Megan. Yeah.
Yeah, she stopped by. She said the whole reason why she stopped by is because she was on some kind of social group, like a Facebook thing or something like that. And suddenly they started talking about aliens and IRC.
Okay.
And then, so that was enough to trigger her and stop by calm.
Did she mention if she was still in Austin?
Yeah, she's in Austin.
For some reason, that was like a known thing about her. Like everyone knew Megan was in Austin. I don't
know. Well, she was in San Marcos.
Is that a suburb?
Yeah, it's kind of, well, it's, no, it, I wouldn't say it's a suburb.
Between
it's
Twin its own City?
Little, okay. It's its own, no, its own little tiny town.
I see.
It's one of those Texas towns.
Oh, okay. I think it's, Austin sounds like a nice place, except I don't think I would like the weather very much. It's very hot and humid, isn't it?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
El Barfo. I mean, it's hot here in California, but at least it's not humid.
Yep. Oh, I know why. I know why there are cartels producing marijuana.
Why? Tell me.
There's a couple of things. First of all, taxes. Because the Washington state has already made over $1 billion in taxes regulating marijuana.
Damn.
So they don't have to pay taxes. Then you brought up the other thing, that there's other states where it's still illegal.
Yeah, okay.
And so they're smuggling, you know, and to other places, other countries even.
So that those two things pretty much? Or?
Yeah. But I think the scarier thing is just the nefarious characters, if I can use that term from Bullywiff. the nefarious characters on SDF. No. That are growing this stuff.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
They're gonna, you know, they'll use pesticides to get bigger.
And they'll shoot people that come onto their territory.
That's right. Know? Yeah. Even the sheriff, they'll shot the sheriff, and they'll yeah. You know, it's just like you know, once you open that avenue of crime, it's just like, it's, you know, what else can I get away with? And I think that you know, avoiding paying taxes and just being able to continue your business, because if you get your license, I'm sure that puts visibility on you, and they don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be obscure. So, yeah.
What do you think about the possibility of some of this illegally grown pot making its way into legal dispensaries? Do you think that happens?
Oh, sure.
You think that does happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I won't say any names because that might be racial if I do that.
Oh, okay.
But,
well,
you know, I'll say, yeah, Racial's Blend. How about that?
Racial's Blend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Really. Cut with illegal weed to maximize profit.
Well, yeah, so what do you think? I was thinking about quitting smoking weed for that reason. Well, other reasons too, but I was thinking of adding that to my battery. Mostly, I think it just I think it's a relief to be sober sometimes. Like I was on like a week-long bender of weed, and I just feel so much clearer and nicer and better. It's such a relief not to be high anymore. I don't know, maybe I need both. But the thing is, it also gets expensive, you know, buying weed all the time. Even 10 bucks a week is like, yeah, that adds up over time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, people who also, they drink a lot or you know, maybe like a daily or weekly drinker. The one thing I don't understand about people who drink alcohol is, especially when they drink low alcohol content. Like 4% beer, and they have like a case of 24, and you see them, you know, walking out of Safeway or walking down the street with like a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's just like, why are you going to process all of that stuff through your body? And why don't you just take a couple of shots and call it a day? You know,
Certainly more efficient. My friend Peter started buying grain alcohol, like pure alcohol, to take on camping trips because it was just lighter. You know, you can get more drunk and not have to carry as much liquid. So you mix it in with water, mix it with fruit juice, and then you can get yourself drunk for less exertion.
Oh yeah, 200 proof.
Right. Yeah.
I was working at a place where we, back when Washington State was, liquor was not privatized. You had to go to the state liquor board.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like Ontario.
Also authorized. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, oh God, what is that called? LCBO?
LCBO. Yeah, yeah, Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Yeah, I remember right. that going to school.
Yeah, so very much like that. But you could get 200 proof, basically, oh, I don't know what the name of that is called, but 200 proof grain mm-hmm. alcohol. And I worked at a place where it was used for cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it still could be the sort of thing to drink it. And I got a bottle of it, and the guy was just like, "Yeah, if you cut your finger, just take a sip of it."
A sip? No, you don't pour it. Don't pour it on your finger. Just drink it.
Just for the heck of it, I tried it, and it's just the harshest. Straight, it's the harshest.
Yeah, I can. I've never tried it. I mean, vodka is pretty harsh to me. Like just 80 proof of vodka. So.
Yeah.
The last time I got really drunk was in PCOM. You know, it was like a couple of years ago. I drank a whole bottle of really cheap whiskey, and I was on my webcam, and I was in PCOM and typing with all these typos. It was fun. Getting really drunk in a chat room is kind of a fun experience.
Yeah. I wonder how many, like if we had a, well, it would be funny if we had a self-exposing meter that people could do. It's just like, well, I'm stoned, or I'm drunk, or I'm speeding. It would be interesting. Or I'm on ketamine. I'm just going to go AFK for a couple of hours and lay flat on the floor.
Do you think? Go ahead. Either question.
Oh, I was going to tell you yesterday, or day before yesterday, I was driving to work, and I was getting on the on ramp to I-5 to go in and. I kid you not, on the on-ramp, just scattered all over the place, were little tiny whippets.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just laughing. I was just like, oh, my God.
That's got to be teenagers, don't you think? I don't think adults do whippets. I hope not.
Well, I think it was a homeless.
Oh, okay, the homeless thing.
Yeah. And I was reading, like, why does that work? And, well, apparently... if you have, your body normally will accumulate B12 and, by using that, nitrous oxides will bind with B12
Okay.
And then that converts it into whatever the brief high that you get from using whippets.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But the thing is that then you become B vitamin deficient. It's incredibly dangerous.
Over extended period of time, I guess.
Right, right.
Do whippets every day.
Yeah, well, I mean, then if you get to a person that's B deficient and they just blast through a box of whippets, thinking that that's going to get them high to that same high, it's sad as well. But I was also kind of laughing because I was just God.
You've never tried a whippet personally?
No.
Neither have I. You don't have a huge amount of drug experience, I guess. Like you've never tried marijuana. Am I correct in that?
No, I've never.
But you've been drunk. That's like you just prefer.
Oh, sure.
You just prefer not to be drunk because it just makes you feel sick.
It does. You know what? I am teetotaling now, and I briefly thought like, oh, I should try it to see. You know how, and the thing is, it's like I wasn't that big of a drinker, anyways. Mm-hmm. But I thought, oh, you know, you should just try it and see. And I just had some gin, and it made my stomach sick. It's like a little bit, and I was just like, I just feel disgusting. And then I tried to work on some music, and I was just like,
you couldn't do it.
Yeah, it sucked.
Well, supposedly, like, some heavy metal bands or, like, Metallica, they were just drunk all the time, like, for concerts and for recording. They just were continually drinking. And I don't know how common that is. Maybe it's a heavy metal thing. I don't know.
Well, it might be an image.
Right.
And I think, Lemmy was, like...
Oh, yeah, band. Right. Yeah, he just would down bottles of God knows
It's what. Like, yeah, Jack Daniels was an accessory to him.
Yeah. He died semi-recently, didn't he? Like maybe less than 5 years ago?
Oh. Yep.
Lemmy.
Anyways, I'm working on a thingy.
Okay, let me hear your thingy.
And I've got I've got a couple of parts, but I'll play the main thing.
All right.
We'll talk about it in a second. All right. So it's like something like this. Okay. Like that.
Flowing in major key E.
Yeah.
Flowing and happy. Do you have some lyrics that are going to go with it, or is this a instrumental?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
I realize that it's got two elements in it. It's got a YMO thing. There's a song called Q, which has this kind of da 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 da. It has that kind of like build up progression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other part was either Debussy or Satie.
Hmm. One of those French guys.
Yeah, yeah. Especially this part. That figure. And I don't know if I'm doing if you can analyze the rhythm for me.
Well, I don't know.
You don't know? You're bored?
No, I'm just not that good at rhythm. That's all. I don't have the same thing that I do with pitch, with rhythm. That sounds... I mean, do you think, like... I know with, like, keyboard, it's, like, kind of a thing that's always in the background. Like, you always have to play a little bit of keyboard. Mm-hmm. But, like, do you find yourself treating it as more of, like, this is a real instrument. I want to be a piano player. I want to be a keyboard player.
Oh, heck no.
Heck no?
No, because, you know, anytime...
Because it seems like you're getting better and you're, like, getting pretty decent at it. So it's, like, it's maybe tempting to say, well, maybe I'll just be a keyboard player now.
I used to... I told you I minored in piano in college.
You mentioned that you had... I forgot that you had minored, but yeah, okay.
So it was, like, a mandatory thing. So you had to become a pianist. Mm. And like I said, piano is a great way to look at least for Western music, because it's
right
just
there.
All
the sitting in front
keys
of
are all laid out. Yeah, it's very easy to see, visualize what you're playing, and you know, you hit one note, and it's always going to be that note, unlike a guitar where it's like in several different positions.
Yeah, and but, not to mention the whole tuning thing.
Right, right. That's right. Yes, just intonation versus what is it?
Mean tone, temperament, or something.
Mean tone. Yeah, equal temperament.
Yeah,
there
equal.
We go.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as like switching to piano and becoming a pianist, the reason why I say heck no is it's the same reason why, there's some serious bangers out there on piano.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, I would say piano is incredibly,
virtuosic.
Yeah. Competitive. Mm. It's just like, the thing is with piano, as soon as somebody plays like something super fast, like Fly the Bumblebee or the Minute Waltz, not the Minute Waltz, the Minute Waltz.
Who's that by?
Chopin.
Oh.
The one that they call the Minute Waltz.
Oh, wait a second. I think I know what you're talking about. Jim used to try. He used to play that, but he'd play it very slowly. I think it's an E flat.
It might be in here.
Do I have?
Oh. Oh. No, I'll never find it. Anywho. I was just saying I wouldn't want to do that because there's just... Oh, I found the harpsichord.
Oh, nice.
I would... shut up.
I'm kind of jealous of all your sounds. I feel like I can't get these sounds out of my electronic DAW, out of my software DAW. So you have all these hardware instruments. It's like,
I wonder if I can. Oh, I can't remember. For a while there, I was really into some of the Bach harpsichord suites.
Okay.
So I was trying to read those.
Oh.
And almost to the point where I wanted a, I wanted to get a harpsichord.
Oh, really? I thought about getting like a Hammond B3, like a real Hammond organ at one point.
Oh, cool.
But I was stoned, so at that passed. Yeah,
that's good.
Oh, hey, NTK just says he has Lyme disease. He was in urgent care today, and he had a bullseye rash, and I guess he has Lyme disease, so apparently it's...
Ticks.
Yeah, so I don't know what the treatment options are going to be. We were just talking about that, but... You know, I had Lyme disease back in like 2008. You remember?
Yeah. How did it affect you?
Well, it hit my heart first. Oh, so no. I had heart palpitations. So I had to go to the emergency room, and they basically told me you're going to die. You know, if you don't treat this like this, I was in complete heart block, which my electrical system was not regulating the pumping of my heart. It was kind of beating sideways and not in the chambers. Ouch. Were not constricting as the like one after the other the way they should be.
Gonna faint.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah, so my blood pressure was dangerously low, and then I was admitted, and I was in ICU for like 10 days. And they put me on IV antibiotics. But I think they licked it. Like, I think often with Lyme, the problem is chronicness. Like, it's inadequately treated or treated too late, and people end up with a lifelong problem with Lyme. But mine was super acute, and they treated it, and it was gone. And I don't think there are other issues, but who knows? Maybe it's responsible for some of my mental problems. Who knows? Like, Zalia had Lyme disease, and she says it affected her memory big time.
This is just from ticks?
Or? Yeah, deer ticks. You get bit by a deer tick, and then, yeah.
I see. Scary.
It is.
But you're living now.
I'm living, yeah. This was in 2008, so.
Oh, I was going to say is like, the only pianist I would probably aspire to be. Mm-hmm. Would be like George. Is it George Winston?
I don't know.
One of those Wyndham Hill New Age pianists.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the term Wyndham Hill. What that evokes or implies?
Oh, who's that guitarist? Michael Hedges.
Oh, okay. Is that his record label or something?
Well, there was a label, kind of granola, Northern California label called Wyndham Hill. I think it's Wyndham Hill, and it has mostly instrumental artists.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but a lot of them are, you know, virtuoso, but they also play kind of new agey, ethereal music.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know, Michael Hedges is kind of
so basically new agey piano is what you can get behind new agey piano.
Yeah, not in the light jazz sense, like like you'd hear at the dentist office with Kenny G on soprano sax. I hate that stuff. Mm. But like music that just has more 20th century tonality, you know, like those really broad, like, the things I was doing, the harmonies.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like modern pop in a way, you know.
Oh, yeah, making mistakes, right? Have you been trying that?
The mistake thing?
Yeah. So
no, I kind of forgot about it. But I don't actually play that much music during the week. I pick up the guitar and noodle for 5 minutes, maybe like, probably every day. But I don't know. I think I'm not as focused as you are, like, music-wise. I don't know. I don't. Do much serious these days. I'm just kind of I'm kind of a noodler.
I'm trying to find a bump note.
Ah. There's that one. Was what, yeah, I was gonna.
That's certainly some dissonance there.
It sounded. Consonant? It sounded consonant to me. But.
Oh, was that a Picardy third? a plagal cadence?
What is a plagal cadence?
I totally forgot. Like, what? Oh, is it resolving to the sixth or something like that? I can't remember.
Plagueis. Darth Plagueis. I spelled cadence wrong. Plagal cadence. In the plagal cadence, the subdominant triad leads to the tonic, so it's a 4-1 resolution, as opposed to a 5-1.
Okay. So, Picardy third is
ending on a major third when it's a minor piece.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah, okay.
Picardy. I don't know what the opposite would be, like when you're playing in a major key and you end on a minor third. I don't know. A Kirky third, because you got a Picardy third and then a Kirky third.
Well, let's see. So that's already, there's your minor chord in the C major scale. Oh, I already shifted.
So I'm amazed that like this, it can sound so good, like over, like even though it's over Skype and it's kind of shitty, I can still tell that the good sounds. It's kind of interesting.
That's your minor third.
You know what you should do some week is like feed your audio directly in to. Well, no, that wouldn't work that well because I think it would still be corrupted by the Skype connection. I was thinking if there's some way to make your audio perfect so I could really hear what those sounds really sound like. But.
Oh, I see. Like maybe if I set up stereo microphones and I think the speakers are what do it. Like if you did the line out and ran it into whatever, you're gonna probably hear some of the more of the digital artifacts.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think
do you have really good speakers or?
Well, it's got two speakers in it, and then there's chambers for the sound to resonate. So it's designed to be played through the speakers. So I would, if I was ever to record this piano, I would mic it. I wouldn't run a line.
Yeah, yeah, cool. How would you mic it? Like what microphones would you use and how many, et cetera?
I'd probably use two condenser mics because it's not, and at the speakers, but the phasing would have to be a little tricky because of the distance between the two speakers, because there's already stereo separation. Because if you play a low note, you're on the left speaker with lower volume on the right, and then if you play way up there. But yeah, they just have layers of samples in here. They have all the hammer sound.
Do you have any pianos or keyboards by Nord, like a Nord lead?
No.
Okay. I always thought that was kind of the holy grail of keyboards, you know?
For some people, they are. I'm not a fan of Nord.
You don't like Nord? Why come?
No. Why come?
Yeah, why come?
Is that why a new combo?
Why come you don't got no tattoo?
Why come? I think that their character has been sort of this thing in a particular genre of music that I'd never got into. Oh. And it's just,
what genre is that?
I don't know. Okay. Post-industrial, I don't know.
Well, you know that guy, Jacob Collier, this like musical genius guy? You ever heard of him? You know, okay. He was on the internet for a while.
And then he got banned?
Yeah. He got deleted.
He rage quit.
Yeah. Anyway, he played in Nord. Eamon W. was he liked Jacob Collier. He was kind of like this musical genius, like this theory genius who had all this musical ability, and like he was more like an anomaly than a producer, kind of like I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but he got kind of big. He was making the rounds. People knew about him. I don't know. I guess he kind of faded into obscurity now. But yeah, it goes to show like even like. If you're a musical super genius, you're not even necessarily going to make it. You know, you're not going to become. So I don't know what the magic formula is.
I think the thing is just be happy if people listen to your music, and like for me, it's definitely the drive is not. It's just getting something out of my system, so to speak.
Okay.
Like. Yeah, it's more about it's expression. It's not about whether or not anybody listens to it. But if somebody listens to it, cool. If somebody buys it, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool as well.
So. I've always been really audience-driven. Like, I've been doing internet art for a long time, so I would always send out group emails and, like, you show everybody. But then I would get, like, you can't gauge people's responses through that. Mm-hmm. So I would start to get in my head, oh, maybe everybody hates me. And I got a couple responses say, look, I'm trying to cut down on the numbers of email I receive for work. Please stop sending me your stupid, shitty, worthless fucking projects. Well, they didn't say that, but that's what I read in my head.
Yeah, so, well, that's the Jared Lanier.
Gerard.
Yeah, I want to talk to him. I want to put him on and on radio. I think it'd be fun to talk about how people's lives, their emotional stability is based on what people say or what they think people say about them on the internet.
Well, it would be interesting to hear his take on SDF, because SDF I see as being mostly a social media platform.
Somebody could get their freaking PhD on studying SDF and, you know, right?
Do you see SDF that way as mostly a social media, or do you think it's like just computers that people use in different ways?
I don't know if it's social media, but it has a social aspect to
it. I think there's a certain subset of people that just exclusively use Calm, PCOM, Bboard, you know, that don't use any of the other programming tools or web tools or whatever. But I'm one of those people. I have a website, so my website has been on SDF, like my primary website, for friggin' 20 years now. So
wow, cool. I think it's many things to many different people. Some people, it's like a retro thing because they never experienced what it is. So it has this past and this history that's consistent versus some places are like they get bought and sold and then they rebrand and, you know, they do crap things like Google Plus Google. they build a community that dwarfs the SDF community, and then they figure out, well, there's no profit here, so we're just going to shut it down. That's it's just like you had something that had more people than SDF will ever have, and you destroyed it because you destroyed the community because it didn't fit your profit model.
Do you have any accounts on some of these other public Unix places like Silence's Defeat or whatever the one that Snow Dusk migrated to? I forget the name of it, but
did you know that the Alex Strom, the Silence's Defeat guy, sold Silence's Defeat to SDF?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
What's the upshot of that? Like, what are the consequences?
He just wanted to sell it.
So now you have it?
Yeah. If you go to sciencesdefeat.org, it goes to scf.org.
Wow. Oh, okay, you're talking about the domain. He doesn't run any computers anymore?
Not in a long time. This is way over 10 years ago. I was going to say the... I wanted to tell you, because we're running out of time. There is a new show on Anon Radio, and it's called, oh my God, it's about Turkish classical music.
Oh, really? That sounds interesting.
And it's performance-based with discussion. And it's this college student named One of Vaults.
Who? What?
One of Vaults. And One of Vaults is in Turkey.
Okay.
And the name of the show is Farah Feza Chronicles.
Oh my, okay.
You know what? It's at the same time your show is, but it's on Wednesday at 1600.
So how do you spell Farah?
FERAHFEZA.
I'm not finding it on the archives page.
Oh, because he just started.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, so his first show, inaugural show, is Wednesday, UTC, at 1600 hours.
Okay, I will definitely check. I'll probably check out the archive. I'm an archives kind of guy. I'm not a live kind of guy. Anyway, thank you very much for calling. Bye-bye.
What? Are you hanging up on me?
No, we have a minute. I misread the clock. Sorry. We have a minute. I thought it was 10 seconds.
Say goodbye to your audience, and then I'll drop. How about that? Well, thank you for letting me call into your show.
Oh, you're well. Actually, I called you.
In Soviet Russia, MGT calls you.
I wonder if I'll ever talk to Handy Segan. Probably not. I think we'd have to have an awkward communication.
Handy C loves you.
Addressing what went down several months
Handy
ago.
Handy C loves you. You know that.
I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know. I can't. I don't speculate on feelings over the internet. Man.
About drinking and calming. Handy C.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Well, okay. Alcohol ruins lives. That's the point. That's right. The moral of the story today. Okay, thanks for calling. I mean, thanks for me calling you. Thanks for picking up.